to. Good morning. Good to see everyone here today again as we come to worship the Lord, our God and our Father. Come into his presence with thanksgiving in our hearts, the psalm says. So here we are. A few more announcements that I have to make as we continue on with our service. We do have contemporary service tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you don't have anything, come back. Carl's going to be sharing, and Jennifer Herbolt and Ann and I, and if there's others that want to sing along to lead the worship, you're certainly welcome to do that this evening at 7. Confirmation, parents, you've got the letter. You should know about it. We'll meet right after church for a little bit, just in the back pews here after everybody's ushered out. We'll meet, and then not this week, but the next Wednesday, we start off with confirmation. And on that note, I'm reminded I had a call this morning from Tim Melhoff from Freedom's Reformed Church in Tripp. He's the chairman of their consistory. And he wanted me to announce that their pastor, Reverend Greg Way, a lot of you probably have some connection with him. He's been there for 19 years. Next Sunday will be his last Sunday. He's retiring. So they are having a special service as part of their worship service at 10 o'clock with a potluck dinner following. So if you are all invited, or any of you that know him and would like to go, you're certainly invited. And on that note, which you'll read in the minutes of the newsletter, but since I'm on that, we'll be helping with their eighth grade confirmation class again here. This year we start from the get-go, so it'll work better, and their eighth graders will come over each week and join in with our eighth graders through the year. So we'll help them out in that way. 2 weeks from today is our Sunday school kickoff. So it means 9:15 Sunday school, back to 10:30 church, and potluck dinner that day. Now, some years we've had, like last year, we had a couple that wanted to provide the pulled pork for the whole meal. This year it's not that way, so it's every part of the meal we have to bring. The main course, the salads, the desserts, whatever. All right, just so we're aware of that. 2 weeks from today. The ladies, I probably need that. Ladies' Bible study today, if you haven't signed up for that and to order the workbook, today is your last day to do that, so keep that in mind. They're going to order those, I think, tomorrow, the workbooks, so be aware of that. I believe that's all the announcements I have right now, so let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. A beautiful morning indeed, Lord, that you've given us just a little sprinkle of rain to help clear the air, freshen things up. Father, this is the day that you have made. We know that, and we rejoice in it. We rejoice in you. Every day that you give us life and breath is a good day, and you are the strength of our lives. And Father, we come today to worship you, certainly, number one, in spirit and in truth. You are the reason that we are here. But we come, Father, as well to be refreshed in our hearts, in our lives, to be filled again with the Spirit of the living God. And we ask that as you move among us so mightily, and as you fill this sanctuary with your glory and your goodness, that we leave this place saying it was good to be in your presence once again with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You are the maker and creator of all, of the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is therein, and you are our creator, and we worship you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Our opening hymn will be number 63. Number 63, if we stand together, all creatures of our God and King. Let's stand, please.
Thank you.
Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you speak. Sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. So, as usual, I have some things to start out with. I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this, but I will. Today is Cheryl Dubbs's birthday. So happy birthday, Cheryl. Maybe you were going to do it anyway. Oh. Okay. Prayers for George and Chelsea Summerside. You know, Chelsea is maiden name Schultz, Stuart Schultz's daughter, and they attend here, George and Chelsea. George's father passed away a week ago today, actually. He had been battling cancer and was 68, and so the funeral was this last Thursday. So if you just remember them in your prayers, please. Also, let's see, a joy of some new babies, which are in the bulletin there. Alyssa Bent, is she here? Huh? She's here, but she's out with the baby right now in the cry room. Yeah, Alyssa had a little girl on Monday, Ray Lynn Dale Bent. And we had one the Friday before to Tyler and Jenna Miller. Her name is Nora Joanne, so that's exciting. We continue to pray for them. Prayers, Darlene Gehring's brother, Dennis Buckholz, who lives in Mitchell. He is well fighting cancer. It's a type of lymphoma, and was recently moved into the care center up there, and yesterday was rushed to the hospital in Sioux Falls. So things not going too well. So be in prayer, Dennis Buckholz. Other things that you might have? Mark. Okay, great. Mark was sharing about Taylor Anderson, that school at the University of Minnesota starts tomorrow, and she officially starts her duties, her missionary work with the Navigators there. So we will lift her up in our prayers, certainly. Trish. Peg Hansen? Okay. All right, Matt and Trisha's sister-in-law, Lisa, that would be, her husband is Lee Fisher. Lisa's mother-in-law passed away this week of cancer. Lisa's mother, sorry. All right, we want to remember them in our prayers as well. Okay, over here. Yeah, Patsy. I don't think so, but... She might, yeah.
But anyway, then I also want to say a praise. 2 weeks ago, I had an unspoken medical need that's been taken care of. Praise God.
Good.
And then I do ask prayer for my mother, who will be having eye surgery on Tuesday.
Okay. All right. So Brenda Mettler's birthday was this past Thursday? This week. Past week. All right. And Patsy had an unspoken health need 2 weeks ago, and that is all cleared up. Prayers for her mom, Elda Zabe, who's having eye surgery this week. Okay, all right. And special welcome to Howard Gehring here from Arizona with us too. Good to have you, Howard. Okay, let's bow our heads, please. Thank you, Lord, for each of these requests mentioned. Lord, we pray for Taylor as she starts off on this mission endeavor tomorrow on the campus of the University of Minnesota. And Father, we praise you that at least last we heard was 75% funding has come in, and we just rejoice with that and trust that the remainder of that will also come in according to your will. So, Father, give her boldness and compassion and wisdom as she reaches out to thousands of students there, I'm sure, many of who need to know you as their Lord and Savior. We thank you for your protection over her as well, Lord, in Jesus' name. For the new babies born to Devin and Jenna, we thank you for Raylin and Nora, both the beautiful little girls, and we rejoice to see them, and thank you for the work that you continue to do in their lives and in their mother's lives, Lord. Give them strength after this time of delivering their children. Lord, we lift up George and Chelsea Summerside and George's mom as well at the passing of her husband. Father, we ask for comfort to them. We pray also for Lee and Lisa Fisher at the homegoing of Lisa's mother, Lord. I don't imagine either of these were too old at all, really, but we know that they knew you, and we thank you that they are with you in heaven and free from the struggles that they had on this earth in their later years. Now they are free, and we praise you for that, for watching over them. Lord, for all the ones, college students that I know in our state universities that started back this weekend and probably as well start classes tomorrow, and our own school here at Menno and Freeman and around the area, Bonhomme and Scotland. It's all getting back going, and just watch over them all. Be with the teachers, the janitors, the cooks, the bus drivers, the administration, the school boards, all who have a part in this. We pray for safety over all of our schools in this region, and that they would be places of learning, Father. Thank you for what you do in our school here. Thank you that we can proclaim in God we trust in our schools in South Dakota. Lord, we lift up Patsy's mom, Elda, with her scheduled eye surgery this coming week. Thank you for going before her in that with your healing power. Lord, there's an unspoken request that in regard to this afternoon, you know what I'm referring to, with a very difficult situation, and we just ask for your guidance in all of that, Father, in Jesus' name. You know every detail of our lives. You know each one here. You know our birthdays. Thank you for blessing Cheryl Dubs today on her birthday and others that are coming or have been in recent days. Father, as we always pray for our nation and ask for healing to our land, an outpouring of your Spirit, be, Lord, working through our president and vice president and congressmen and women, Lord. Overwhelm them with the power of your Spirit, as only you can do, to guide and direct this nation, that we could serve you and honor you in decisions that are made. For our military, Father, we daily lift them up, and we do so again here this morning. Watch over those serving abroad and here at home, and keep them safe, Lord. I think two soldiers lost their lives in Afghanistan this week. Be with those families who need your comfort and your care as well during this time. Thank you for being with Darlene's brother Dennis, Father, and just give the doctors wisdom for decisions that have to be made. For all these things, Lord, and all the names listed in the bulletin, we thank you for being at work in each of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 61, before we receive our offering, Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. I've probably quoted you this many times before surgeries or in difficult places, but it's a wonderful two verses here. The psalmist said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will call out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And that is Jesus. He is our rock. Let's receive our offering this morning. We do give glory to your name, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. You are the Most High God. And what a privilege it is to stand here in your presence, to worship you with our singing, to worship you with our giving, which is part of who we are. Father, this is part of our lives, the provision that you provide for us in many different ways. So we bring these offerings and these tithes before you and to you to bring into your storehouse for the work of your kingdom. Father, you know the needs of everyone standing here. Some in need of a good, solid job. Lord, some working so very hard and yet not much coming in, it seems. And some with difficult decisions to make. You know it all, Lord. You see and hear every prayer that is lifted up, and I thank you for working in each and every situation. Lord, it might be that some here just need a glimpse of some light at the end of the tunnel to get them over the hump or through a difficult spot. I ask, Father, that you would do that today. For you are the one who does and can make a way when there seems to be no way. You are faithful, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, and the children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Thank you. Good morning, boys and girls. How's everyone today? Well, how was your first week at school? Boring? Oh? How many nice? What? You got a new student?
Same,
new students. That's always fun. Well, it's good to see. Did you have a good week? You too? You have twins. You got some too. Yes, we have some new people that moved to Meadow, so that's awesome. Well, I'm going to talk today about your foundation and what we put our foundation on. You know, the foundation is the bottom, like a house. It's what the house gets built on. And in our scriptures today, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus has been talking to all of his disciples and followers about things about God and about things that they should do and how to live life. And then in verse 24, he says, "Therefore, if anyone hears the words of mine and puts them into practice, he's like a wise man or woman who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had his foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice, doesn't do them, doesn't believe them, he's like a foolish man or woman, boy or girl, who built his house on sand. Guess what? The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and what happened to it? It fell with a crash, right? It fell. All right, so I'm going to demonstrate to you a little bit about how that might look today. So I want Emery and Autumn, can you help me? You guys are twins, right? Here we go, Emery, you hold this. And these are our houses, as you can see. These are the two houses that we're representing here. And the first house was built on sand. So here I have some sand, so we'll put some sand in there and some sand out of there. I had to go to the playground in town and get that. Borrow that. Yeah, there's some, that one built it on the sand, but this one, they built theirs on some solid what? Rock. This represents rock. It's hard, right? It's what God says we need to do. So that house is built on the rock. Now, these are both houses, and it says in the Word of God that a storm came to both of them, right? Storms in our life. What are some storms in your life? Like when somebody's not nice at school, or maybe your animal dies that you love, or your grandma, or you have trouble with schoolwork, or your family doesn't have the money that you wish they would. Or it could be anything, right? Troubles, or could be anything. So here, this storm comes to this one. Whoops, did I spill it on you? And there it is. Anything happened to that house? No, it stayed. It stood because the foundation was strong. Now, this house, too, everything, I'll just go on this side of you so I don't spill it. This house was built on the exact same, it was built on sand, right? And so the same storms came, to this house. Kids were being mean at school, and I can't do my homework, or I think I'm dumb, or I'm not smart, or everybody's mean, or my animals all died, and the storm came to this house. And we're going to see what happens to this house. See if it's going to do it. Sometimes these experiments don't always work. This house. Here we go. We got to just push it way down. Look what's happening to the house. What's happening to the house? It's falling apart. It's falling apart. Just got to push that down there harder. It's not standing. Look, it's getting crooked. It's falling apart because this house was built on what? Sand. This house was built on sand, and that one stood because it's built on rock. Thank you. Thank you, ladies. So this tells us that, boys and girls, we need to have a strong foundation, and our foundation is in God. When you read at home the Bible and you praise and sing and pray every day, talk to God, that's building your house on a strong foundation. And when those storms come to you, whatever they are, it will stand. You will stand. Okay? All right. But if we leave God out of it, if we don't trust Him, don't have Him in our lives, storms can come and they can flatten you. All right? So let's be the boy and girl that builds our foundation on the rock. All right? All right, let's pray. Father, we worship you and praise you, and we thank you for all these boys and girls. We thank you, Lord, that you tell us to build our foundation on you. You are the rock, and I pray that for all these boys and girls, that you are the rock in their lives and our lives. And we just thank you, Father, that Holy Spirit, you live on the inside of them and us, and you help us to be strong for you. Help them to be a light wherever they go this week, to school or daycare or preschool. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you can get your thing. Let's see if this thing will go down anymore. Slow. What did you say?
Okay, thank you. Let's turn to the next hymn, 401, I think it is, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you. has for me.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church universal, for this local church, for the other churches in our community and the region around us as we serve you together. We know that our foundation is built upon you, Jesus, as our rock. And you are the head of the church, and we are your children. And help us to submit to you and to your word as we read it and as we hear it in our lives. Let our ears be opened. Let our minds be focused upon you and your very living word of God that is anointed and full of power. And Father, I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit as well to those gathered here. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 127, we are on today, the Psalms of Ascent. So we're halfway through these Psalms, number 120 to 134. There's 15 of them, the Psalms of Ascent, going up. As we work through each one, they have much to say to us. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Amen. That psalm, this one, you're more familiar with, I believe several of them you are, but we hear this sometimes at baptisms or special things happening with children. And so there's much in it, though. Psalm 126, we saw last Sunday, that is a psalm of the results of God's deliverance. The great things that God does. It says, just real quick, the first verse or so, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Right? So remember, they had been captives, exiled over there in Babylon for 70 years. And God supernaturally moved on the king's heart, King Cyrus of Persia, and allowed him to go back to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the city walls. So it was an incredible miracle that happened there after being in exile that long. Why did they get there? We talked about that. Jeremiah the prophet, God spoke to through Jeremiah to them many times. Jeremiah 25, verse 8 is one of those times. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words. And then it goes on. It was their disobedience that finally led to the Babylonians coming in, destroying the temple, destroying the city, hauling them off to Babylon. And Jeremiah, the prophet, God spoke through him and even said, it's going to be 70 years. You're over there. So settle down, build your homes, work. And it was, just as God said, it was 70 years. So Psalm 127, then, as we come into that, is really a warning. A warning to them as they're coming back from the exile. And he says this, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Holds true today. In our homes, a home is made up of a family. Families make up a city, right? Cities make up a state, and states in our country, 50 of them, make up our nation, right? So it's got to start in the home. Unless the Lord builds the house, Now, certainly, there's other areas we could go with this. We could go, you know, Solomon. God used Solomon to write this, so we could be thinking of the temple as it was built. There's various ways, but I'm not going that way today. Unless the Lord watches over the city, unless the Lord watches over the nation, the watchmen stand guard in vain. It's like Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. In other words, that was their military back at the day, right? But we trust in the name of the Lord our God. I want to just first start out a little bit with the nation, then we'll come back to the family. I had found this. This is a speech from Benjamin Franklin in 1787. Remember, we became a nation in 1776, so here we are 11 years later, and they're realizing we need to write a constitution for this nation. And listen to this speech. 230 years ago, what he was saying. In the beginning of the contest with Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayers in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence, and providence is a capital P, God, right? We observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace, because they were now a nation, on the means of establishing our future national fidelity. And have we now forgotten this powerful friend, capital F? Or do we imagine we no longer need his assistance? I have lived for a long time, 81 years, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of man. And if a sparrow, it moves me because I realize how far we've fallen in 232 years. That's why the tears are here. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire cannot rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe without his concurring aid, we shall proceed in this political building no better than the builders of the Tower of Babel. We shall be divided by our little, partial, local interests. Our prospects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future ages. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Isn't that amazing? All the scripture he's quoting in there, he's not referencing the passages, but throughout. And are there prayers today in Congress? Yes, I hear that there are. I hear that there are, but a speech like that would probably cause that type of reaction. Unless the Lord builds the house. All right, now if you're thinking, where are you at in the blanks? Well, I haven't got there. We're going to get there now in your outline, okay? The builder's psalm. That's what this has been called by many, the builder's psalm. Number one, building a home. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. We know unless, Very simple here. And less is say, it's just stating God's involvement in our lives down to the very basic building block of society, the home. God's involvement is absolutely essential. And I'm probably, as you'd say, preaching to the choir here. But in that way, it's an encouragement. That's why we're here. The young families, the elderly, the everywhere in between, the grandparents. Because we know this, we believe this, we're trying to do our best to build our house on a solid foundation. And it has to be, we have to honor God in our homes, in our marriages. Because letter A, as you go on there, verse 3 tells us this, children, this is from the New Living, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. And they are. Yeah, there's challenges, big challenges. But they are a blessing. Look at the little ones here this morning, the newborns, the just months old, some of the challenges that have gone through. They are a gift from the Lord. I always say there's no such thing as an accidental birth. There is no such thing as a surprise pregnancy. Now, there might be, it might be a surprise to mom and dad at times, but it's not a surprise to God. It's all part of His plan and His purpose. And so we bring them up, don't we, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They are a reward. Yes, the rewards far outweigh the challenges. Child raising, not easy. Always has had its challenges. Every generation has different challenges than the one before. Doesn't mean the one before didn't, but it seems like there's new ones that come with all the social media, the technology of the cell phones, and the challenges. Let me say, there's great blessings in that, but the challenges of that you parents, as you're raising your kids right now, that presents of trying to monitor those things with the kids is difficult, isn't it? Difficult. There can be wonderful things accessed. I use mine so much for, I'm thinking, okay, where's that scripture verse at? I just go to Google, type in the first line of it, and there I have it. Yep. Don't have to go to my big concordance, which is as big as this Bible right here on the communion altar. Flip through to find a word in there and where it's at. No, I just got it in a split second of time. It's the wonderful part of it. The not wonderful part is it can be very dangerous accessing things, pornography, and beyond that are at the touch of our fingertips that can be very damaging. Unless the Lord builds the house, He's got to be involved. We have to be purposeful and diligent about it. We're starting off Sunday school, confirmation classes again in 2 weeks from today, confirmation a week and a half. I had one, just this summer, conversation I had with somebody that was at our confirmation service, a family member, relative, visiting this year. And of course, we had 9 eighth graders, so it was a big group. And I hadn't talked to him that day, but I was somewhere where he was just last month. He said, I want you to know I was there, Pastor Mike, at your confirmation service in April. You're pretty intense, aren't you? I'm like, well, people would say it is. But you go to the next generation back, and they'd tell you, oh, they got it easy. They know the questions, right? All you older ones. We didn't even know the questions. So compared to that, yeah. But compared to most around us, still that we have the examination, yeah, it's pretty intense in the work that they do, but it is good. It is so good. That memorizing of the scripture, absolutely essential. The memorizing of the catechism blesses them in far more, yes, spiritually, but many ways beyond, even in their schoolwork. As these kids train themselves to memorize things, it blesses them in their education. It really does. Children are a gift from the Lord, a reward from Him. Next Sunday, we're baptizing Lee and Mary Heckenleibel's little girl, Grace. thought they were going to be here today, but and they said, I met with them this last week about the baptism. They said I could share this. She's a little miracle baby, Grace. She's 5 months old. When June 1st of last year, Mary was just starting out in a pregnancy, barely 6 weeks into it, and going to Sioux Falls one day and on the interstate had such excruciating pain, she didn't know what was going on, pulls over, and things are starting to happen. I don't need to go into that, I don't think. And she calls Lee and said, I cannot drive myself to the emergency room, but something's going on. I need you to get here as fast as you can. So he does, finds her on the interstate, rushes to the ER at whichever hospital it was up there, I'm not sure. And she is bleeding profusely, and her abdomen swelled with blood, and she was having what they call, I think I got this right, an ectopic pregnancy. And you can Google that. And of course, there was the miscarriage. And the doctor said, if you would have been here 1 hour later, you would be dead. 1 hour. And furthermore, once they got through that, the doctor said, now, it needs to be at least 3 months before you can even think about conceiving again. Well, 3 weeks later, she was pregnant. And in March of 2019, here comes little Grace. Just as beautiful as can be. That's why I said that there is no such thing as an accidental birth. She had miscarried earlier in 2011. I know there's, I'm sure, many here that have gone through things like that, difficult times, but here's Grace. Secondly, under this, children are like arrows. The verse 4 of the New Living, it says, children born to a young man are like sharp arrows in a warrior's hand. Arrows, there, I had to borrow these from Justin. Now, because the next verse goes on, it said, blessed is the one whose quiver is full of them. Now, I'm not a bow hunter. I had found out Justin Plooster is, and I asked him if he had a quiver with arrows, and he said, sure. So he brings this to my office, and I thought, that's not quite what I was thinking of a quiver, but that's today's quiver, right? The quiver in the Bible times was a pouch that the arrows would go in, but this is still a quiver, okay? And blessed is the one whose quiver is full of them. Arrows don't come like this, do they, off the tree? We know that. We should know it. There's no such thing as an arrow tree, just like there's no such thing as a money tree, is there? No, the twigs have to be found and dried and shaped and straightened and made so smooth like this. Arrows don't grow straight. They are made straight. The beautiful comparison of our children, right? Children are born with the fallen nature, we all are, and they have to be trained and straightened through all of the years of our upbringing. They have to be disciplined. They're not just left to they don't rule the house. You say, better not, or there's going to be trouble. No, they have to be directed in a straight way. There is, we saw a movie, did you look, was that on Christian Cinema? Okay. Ann had found a movie, I think it was on Christian Cinema about a month ago. We watched it one night. It's called Straight Arrows, I think was the name of it. And good movie, very good movie, family movie. It's based on this passage, of course, by the name. But so with children, we direct them, don't we? We direct them towards targets. We encourage them and direct them in life decisions. Sure, as they come of age and yeah, they and then we should be training them. You got to pray about these life decisions when they come. I don't know where to go to college. I don't know what to do next. What do we do? You know what? Let's pray. Let's pray together about that and ask God to direct you according to his will and his plan. And he will. Sure, do we miss the target? Does a bow hunter miss the target? Ever miss the target, Justin? A lot of times, probably, huh? Yeah. So yeah, what do we call missing the target in our lives? We call it sin, don't we? Yeah, we miss the mark, but we get up, we try it again, we keep going. I was arrow making naturally in years gone by. It was a very long and time-consuming process. I looked today at what the best woods are. One was a Port Orford cedar tree. I never heard of that type of cedar tree. Port Orford. That's what it said. It is the most popular. It is the most expensive wood. It is the lightest. Therefore, the velocity goes the fastest to the target. Second in line was the Douglas fir. We've heard of that, right? It's a heavier wood, but it's cheaper. Third down was the ash. Ash tree. Very familiar with that. A much heavier wood, so slower in its velocity. But arrows, God is comparing our children like arrows, and we direct them. The third part, second part, is building a community / church. And that I took from the second part of verse 1, unless the Lord watches over the city. Okay, so that's a bigger group, a community, our church community. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In other words, a country can have all the military might it wants, and we are among the greatest, certainly. And there were times throughout the Old Testament, we know, where because Israel was following God and worshiping God, they might have had not much for an army, but they defeated the enemy who would have been most powerful. There were times where Israel was stronger and had great military might, but because of their disobedience, they lost. They lost. Unless the Lord watches over the city. They sang these psalms. You know, we've been talking about it as they'd come to the temple in Jerusalem. They sang these psalms as they were exiting out of Babylon in exile. It was a warning. I said that starting out. And certainly a warning as they were coming back from exile. Look, it should have been a reminder. You guys, okay, 70 years in Babylon, you know what happened, right? You know what got you there, right? God's saying again to them, unless the Lord builds the house. In other words, he's got to be the center, he's got to be the focus and the reason. Unless the Lord watches over your city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. It was like, you know, he's speaking it to them again and again. Solomon, we know God used to build that temple, as glorious as it was, right? And the wisest man to ever live, really, except for Christ. And God blessed him with wealth beyond measure in Israel at that time. They were the wealthiest nation of the living world, nations back then. But you know what the wealth led to? His downfall. You read Ecclesiastes, if you're following through the Salem Spire, that's where we're at now, right? Solomon wrote the Ecclesiastes, meaningless, all is meaningless, it's all vain. You see that word vain in the psalm too, don't you? You can tell it was the same writer. He had gotten into a very backslidden state. All the wealth, all he had to have all these foreign wives, unbelieving pagan wives, hundreds of them. And they all then as they came, well, I need a tent to worship my God in. Oh, yes, dear. Okay, let's build one. And the next, I need a tent to worship my false God. Okay. And on the hills around Jerusalem were all these idol worshiping tents. And the nation declined. And you know, then when he died, it was to fall to his son Rehoboam. Remember? People came to Rehoboam. Can you please lighten the load, lighten the tax load on the nation? It's too heavy. Rehoboam said, let me consult with my friends of my age. He was just young, and I'll get back to you. The friends of his age said, no, Rehoboam, if you want to control this nation, you need to go back to those people and tell them, you know what? I'm gonna make it. It's with his fingers. I didn't reread this part. But If you thought my dad's, we'll say, little finger was a heavy load, I'm going to rule with my thumb, which is going to be twice as heavy a burden. And that's when the kingdom split. And there was another ruler ready to step up, Jeroboam. Remember, 10 of the tribes followed Jeroboam, northern Israel. 2 of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, stayed with Rehoboam. And then it just declined from there until they both ended up into captivity. Unless the Lord builds the community, Jesus is the head of this community, this church, and we do our best to honor him. Are we perfect? No, we're far from it. Do I have everything figured out how it all ought to be? No, sometimes we might think so. We don't. We don't, but we try our best to honor God. Third, if the Lord builds the house and the Lord watches over the city, then guess what? Third, we're going to be blessed with straight arrows, our kids. That's the result. We're blessed with straight arrows. Verse 5, blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. That quiver, I showed it to you, today's quiver anyway. What's the quiver for? While the arrows are in it, it's a place of safety, isn't it? Number one. Letter A, whatever you have. It's a place of safety. As this church is, as your family home is, that should be a place of safety for our children. I'm sure we are all grieved when we hear these things happening to these children around us, dying because of abuse and neglect. And it's just beyond our comprehension, isn't it? That a parent would do that, those things to their very own child. I get the letters from Abbott House in Mitchell, where we give half of the Christmas Eve offering every year. They come about 3 times a year, and every time, I almost don't want to read it, because they're telling about a little girl, that not by name or anything, but that has come there, and the abuse that she has endured at 12 years of age makes you weep. The quiver needs to be a place of safety, right? Second, it needs to be a place for direction. I talked about that, where we're leading them, teaching them, training them. All together we do it, working together. Used to be years gone by, and some of you 70, 80, 90-year-old era, where someone, if the kids were acting up in church and someone sitting behind saw that, they could grab that little one by the ear and, right? Or bonk them on the head from behind or something. We're certainly in a different era from that. And I'm not quite suggesting that we go back to that. For one, at that time, I think the parents handled it, didn't they? They knew those elders could do that. Nowadays, I don't know, we'd probably have something going on. Don't you do that to my little boy. He did nothing wrong. My little boy would never do anything wrong. Are you kidding me? Third, for support. Support. They are in the hands of the mighty. And so we look at this. Unless the Lord builds the house, he's got to be number one. And we try, and that's why we're here. And God bless you all for being here faithfully. I'm glad when we get back into Sunday school and vacations wind their way down. Because verse 2, I jumped over that. It says, otherwise what? In vain you rise early and stay up late. In other words, working, working, working yourself to death is the phrase we use. Toiling for food to eat. In vain, it means without the Lord. Because with him, he grants sleep to those he loves. And he does. Sleep is wonderful, isn't it? We need that. Our bodies need that. And we can rest in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, we know, I know, we've all missed it. And we can think of times in raising our children and those that are in that process right now. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, am I doing this right? And we all know the feeling who've been there and have been through it. It's a step of faith every day. So guide our parents. Thank you for their faithfulness to have their children here. Sunday school, confirmation, church, vitally important. Bless them, give them wisdom, Lord, in this process. And as grandparents get to have the fun with the grandchildren, and they have a mighty impact as well. Lord, I thank you for this congregation and every home represented here today and the many that are not able to be here today. Bless them and guide us as we endeavor to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn, 575, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. That's how we do it. We rest in Him, isn't it? Let's stand together as we sing this. 575. Receive the benediction. Now may He, the Lord, go with you. May He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Cheryl, for the beautiful music. Contemporary service tonight at 7, if you're able to come and meeting afterwards here.